B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So again, on the NHL format, 24 teams in the playoffs. There'll be byes. Bye teams. There'll be eight bye teams, and then there'll be a play-in round. So the Bruins will get a bye, and the bubble teams will face off in a little play-in round, best of five series, to get to your normal field of 16 teams. How do you feel about that format, Maz? Is it fair?
Overall, no, it's not fair to the. It's certainly not fair to the teams that are, you know, call them 7-8 seeds that then have to fight for a spot, particularly if they have any sort of comfortable, you know, lead over anybody else for that matter. It's not fair to the 3 seeds either, have to play in the first round. So I would tell you, no, it's not. But under the circumstances, you're not going to get anything perfect. So for the Bruins, it's fair. The Bruins are a top seed. They're going to get a bye. They're going to be a top seed when the playoffs start. But for those teams in the middle that now have to fight their way in, not fair to them.
Okay, so to me it depends. The teams that are getting screwed are the 5-6 seeds, really, because, and not to give you a popsicle headache, but the 7-8 seeds are already on the bubble. So you're already a bubble team. You would have had to have played out the regular season to get in anyway.
Just be happy you're here to those teams.
Well, I mean, that's for all of us. Like, we all sort of accept that, right? You know,
but those bubble teams, like, you know, again, like a Montreal, like, just be happy you're in it.
Okay, so the teams that are out of it should be thrilled.
Absolutely.
The teams that are a 7 or 8 seed that were on the, you know, just inside the bubble, well, you would have had to come back and play regular season games to secure the playoff spot anyway. So it's not unfair to you. The teams that it's unfair to are the teams that are right in the middle of that, who were guaranteed a playoff berth and would not have had to play for it. Teams like Pittsburgh or Toronto, teams like this, okay? These are the teams in the East and, you know, West, there's teams like Edmonton and Calgary who I think fall in this category as well. But the teams that were going to be in the playoffs automatically and could have just, you know, coasted for the end of the regular season or set themselves up in the regular, now they're going to have to come back and they're going to play this do or die right out of the chute, best of five series to get into the real playoffs. So Pittsburgh's getting screwed. That's the one that stands out the most. They're the ones that would draw Montreal in that little playoff series when they finished whatever, 15 points ahead of Montreal during the regular season. That's a screw job. Yet the Penguins voted for the proposal. Good for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Good job. They voted yes. Chris Letang, the player rep, said at the end of the day, nobody gets exactly what they want, but we all want what is best for hockey and to continue to grow the game. Whatever the format is, some agree, some don't. As a union, we want to make the best decisions over time, the greater good for everyone. Mm-hmm. What about the antithesis of the Major League Baseball Players Association and Blake Snell? How about this guy? At the end of the day, nobody gets what they want, but we all want what's best for hockey. Whether they believe it or not or feel it or not, say it.
Right.
Say it. As the story says, the Canadiens basically had zero chance to make the 16-team field during the regular season while the Penguins were a lock. It means that now Pittsburgh has to face a do-or-die best-of-five series against Carey Price. The Penguins got screwed.
Big time.
Yet they voted for it. Letang said at the end of the day, the playoffs are a different beast. No matter who you play, it's going to be hard. If it wasn't Montreal, it was going to be Washington or Philly or a challenge like that. We have a lot of experience. I've never heard of an easy series. And so that's just, talk about saying the right thing and doing the right thing. Good for Pittsburgh. And I don't say that very often. I consider that kind of a weasel organization.
Well, look, and you—the right term is greater good. And I said 3 seeds. It's really third place teams, because those are the ones that aren't going to get one of those top seed buys. It's those, as you said, the ones in the middle. And so I give the Penguins credit. It takes someone, you know, it takes some level of maturity to be able to sit there and say, well, look, it screws us, but it's really what is best for the overall picture. And so if we have to deal with it, we have to deal with it. That's the way it goes. It's absolutely true that Pittsburgh's biting a bullet.
So only 2 teams voted against it. And these are the players reps. These are the players voting. The owners had already agreed to all this. The players, the 2 sets of players that voted no, Carolina and Tampa. Carolina player rep Jordan Matnuk said, for where we were and where our team thought we could get to, it hurts our odds. That's why they voted against it. But he said it's not like we don't want to play. So, but they did vote against it. Now, they are a bubble team. I think they're a 7 or 8 seed.
Yeah.
So they still would have had to play their asses off at the end of the regular season to secure their playoff berth. But they're saying now if the playoffs just started, if we just went 1-16 immediately today, we're automatically in the first round. Now we're going to have to play to get in the first round, so that decreases our odds. So they voted against it. The other team, Tampa. Alex Killorn said he didn't feel it was fair that certain teams probably wouldn't have made the playoffs, would now be in, and would have a chance to make it in a best-of-5 series. Killorn said, my team, meaning the Lightning, also felt it was unfair that the teams with the bye would not be as well-prepared for a series as the teams that are that had already basically played a playoff series to get into the playoffs. So this is the teams that get byes are going to play a little 3-4 game round robin that we don't know if it's going to mean anything. That might affect seeding at the top. It might not. It might just be pure exhibitions. But either way, Killorn is saying, while we're just playing these, you know, sort of meaningless 3 warm-up games, our opponent in the first round is going to have just played a life-or-death 5-game Stanley Cup playoff caliber series, and so they'll be better prepared. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. No, and I'll tell you why. No, I don't, because if the season had, and I recognize there's a pandemic element in this, but if the season had gone on as it was, they would have been playing meaningless games down the stretch anyway. So look, again, it's not perfect, okay? But these teams can treat those games as they want to treat them. If they want to put a little bit more intensity into them, they can certainly do that.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah, go.
What would you rather do? Come out of the chute, and your first game is a Stanley Cup playoff game, even if it's a play-in game, but it's essentially a playoff game, and you have to do that over a 5-game series, or the first week is 3 or 4 exhibition games where you get to treat it however you want to treat it.
I'd want the exhibition games.
So what are you talking about, Killorn?
Exactly.
Like if you want to treat those, as Mass just, I think, referred to, if you want to treat those like playoff games, go ahead, go balls to the wall.
No, Killorn knows that that team is inherently gutless.
So you could treat those like playoff games if you want and get yourself playoff. I know there's nothing like the real thing, but, I mean, you get to treat those games however you want to treat them. You get to nurse an injury if you get to nurse an injury. You get to mess with your line combinations if you want to figure out certain things. You get to get your time and your chemistry back for no stakes. Wouldn't you rather be that than Pittsburgh, who has been in the playoffs the entire season and now has to come out game one, balls to the wall, elimination round against Carey Price? What would you rather be?
I'd rather the wall.
Oh, he's whining, please. He's whining. And the other thing is, I wonder, he says, well, you reward teams who are, you know, didn't deserve to get in. Like, who's Tampa fearing? Is there someone there that's at the bottom of Tampa to not play well during the regular season or something?
I haven't looked
at
that.
Like maybe one of those teams that Tampa's looking at, go, we could play them, and we sucked against them this year? So I don't know. I wonder. I'm sort of with Murray, and I say Tampa's weak-minded. They had an epic collapse in the first round last year. Maybe they're headed for one again.
Maybe Columbus is on their radar in that second round, Maz, or their first round, if you will. Real quick, so a couple things that weren't tied up on Friday. They don't know if they're going to reseed into the traditional first round. Again, I don't know what to call it. I'm about to get angry about it because it's pissing me off.
Call it the play-in round.
Because it's too clunky. Coming from the play-in round to the first round, do you reseed or is it a bracket? And this is important for the Bruins. Because if you reseed, meaning the Bruins is the top seed, would face the lowest remaining seed. So if you reseed, that means you do get Montreal in your first round. That is, right. And that means you're one and done this year. And that means it's over.
Good God, here we go again.
If you go by the pure bracket, which they also talked about, you'd either get Toronto or Columbus, right? That would be the option. So what would you rather have? Would you rather have it reseed and get the lowest remaining seed? That could be Montreal at 11, or 12. Could be whoever at 11, I'm not sure. Maybe Florida, the Rangers. Or would you rather face the winner of Toronto-Columbus?
Toronto-Columbus. This is why I found this advantageous. I immediately loved it last week when we talked about it for minutes because, like, we get to avoid Montreal.
You guys are idiots. Reseed.
Don't reseed.
Take the lowest seed every time for crying out loud. Last year it got you to the cup. That whole point was it got you one good draw after the next. You lucked into it every single round. The next thing you know, you're playing for the championship, which you should have won. But that's another story. Of course, lower seed every time.
Not unless it's Montreal.
Right.
Oh, my God. Forget about it. No.
Good grief. You guys are unbelievable.
Do not want to reseed.
We're realists. Seriously. Realists, Maz.
Oh, yeah, no, that's right. You can't play Montreal because they beat you 40 years ago. Oh, right, that's right. I forgot about that. There's a valid criticism. The two of you two need a shrink crying out loud.
One final NHL thought, Maz. And I'm sure it's been reported. I meant to look it up. I forgot. They're still talking about doing the NHL draft lottery at the end of June. Okay, so the draft lottery, if not the draft, but the draft lottery, sometime here coming up. Is the lottery going to be just the seven remaining teams that aren't in the playoffs? Or, in a normal year, it's the bottom 15 teams. You follow me here, right?
Yes.
The lottery, and it's really weighted. You know, the 15th team doesn't have much of a chance, but everyone gets a ping pong ball. Teams 1 to 15, okay? Except this year, teams 15 to 24, 17 to 24 are being given playoff berths. So this I do feel strongly about. I've come to Jesus. I've come around on the 24-team playoff field. Fine. You want to let in Montreal, let in Montreal. But then Montreal doesn't get ping pong balls. You see what I'm saying?
Of course.
You can't have both. We're not going to gift you into the playoffs as the 24th seed, and you get ping pong balls as the eighth highest lottery odds? No. One or the other. Playoff berth or ping pong balls? You don't get both. It should be a 7-team lottery, not a 15-team lottery. I hope that makes sense. Do we know what it's going to be?
No, no, no.
Okay.
No, but what you say makes all the sense in the world. If you're going with a 24-team playoff field, then the lottery should be the teams that aren't in. You know, otherwise the Canadians get to dip one foot in each pool.
And this is what I'm talking about. And they would be just the team, Maz, just the team to win the cup and get the first overall pick, because that's just what happens to that franchise. That's just what happens.
It's also a franchise the league would rig it for.
Right. Something like that. You know, but Chicago, Montreal, those are the two teams that stick out. They're right now going to get top 10 draft picks. Okay, if all things were being equal, they would have top 10 lottery odds anyway, top 10 ping pong balls. You don't get into the playoffs and top 10 lottery balls. You don't. It's one or the other. One or the other. So don't tell me that the draft lottery is going to include those teams. That would be a joke. Okay, so that's my last thought on that. You want to weigh in on the hockey? You can. We started off with the match. You can do that. We hit on some, Patriots quarterback stuff. Another prominent Patriots voice, Rob Ninkovich, said Hoyer will be the starter in week one. You can weigh in on that. We've got one more thing to clear off our docket, and then we'll get to the calls on all of it. And that is the sad end, the sad demise of Geisterspiel. No more Geisterspiel, and what that means for us watching sports here going forward. I want to hit on this right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We are lucky enough to be able to watch football, even though it's behind closed doors. Well, the coin toss has been done. The elbow knock has been done. There's only one more thing to do, and that is to get this derby off and running. So referee Benjamin Quartus gets the game underway. It's the last game from match day 27. It's a derby, a Rhine derby. The river flows through both of these cities, and so does their footballing status.
You hear that, Murray? Did you notice that?
Sure did. Das Ende der Stille.
Aha.
The end of the silence.
That's what that is?
I loved it.
Geisterspiel, ghost games, no mas. In the Bundesliga, that's the German soccer, Fox Sports. You could hear it there. Maybe you didn't notice it because it was sort of ambient. They did not ride too high on the levels. They did not turn the volume up too high. It was sort of background noise. But you could hear crowds chanting in the background as they kicked the ball off. And I forget which game this was, Dusseldorf-Köln, or maybe it was the Leipzig. I can't pronounce these names.
The one that was on Saturday morning. That's all. That's because I know. I was flipping around. I was like, oh, I'll watch this. And I noticed. I was like, oh, look at this.
Crowd noise. Fox piped in crowd noise. Your thoughts, Murray?
Loved it. I think if it's done right, like they did during this broadcast, they add the crowd noise. It's just a din. So it's just there. And you angle the cameras. I noticed this, too. It felt to me that they were angling the cameras in a way so that you could really only see the action in the field. You can't get it right all the time, but they were trying. It made it feel like you were watching a regular game. I thought it was perfect. It works because soccer games have that constant audible fan element in the background. This had that. And even though it was fake, it worked.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it sounded pretty natural. It's true, though. Soccer is different than a lot of other sports because there is usually almost like this hum that's going on behind the game or this buzz, call it whatever you want.
Yeah, like bees. But,
yeah, it is. It's like a locust, you know, or herd of locusts. And so I don't know if it'll work for other sports, but it worked for this.
So cheesy. I freaking hate it. And I'll say up front, they did a good job with it, meaning they didn't make it too obvious. It was sort of more ambient noise, background noise, the din, as you like to say. So they made it sound real, and they didn't go overboard with it. So I'll say on one breath, they did a good job with it. But I don't care. I don't care that they did a good job with it. I want an accurate reporting of what I'm watching.
You prefer that hollow sound from what we were talking about this when it was Geisterspiel?
I prefer nonfiction. Yep, I do. Meh. I prefer nonfiction. Like, for example, Geisterspiel, week before, we played you these cuts. Listen to this is without the ambient crowd. So we just played you the kickoff from a game with the ambient crowd noise in the background. This is the game the week before with no ambient noise, no fake noise. The opening kickoff is here. Listen to these Germans scream at each other. You can hear it.
Extraordinary times. Match day 26 of the Bundesliga kicks off. As I said, extraordinary times call for extraordinary measures. These two extraordinary sides hopefully will deliver today a Revere derby to remember. Well, it already is one to remember. The first one ever to be played behind closed doors. You'll get to hear a lot of what goes on the pitch and from the bench today.
I mean, I will admit it's unsettling in that German language and them screaming at each other. But at least that's what's happening as opposed to what we heard yesterday, which was, well, here, want to hear what they play? Dusseldorf Köln, Stu, number four. Here's what it sounds like when the home side scores a goal.
Would have liked to have seen a little more of that. Back post header, 2-1. Anthony Modest rises and pegs back Dusseldorf by a single goal.
So they pipe in the crowd noise.
I'll
take B.
Yeah, goal is scored. Makes it sound like a goal has been scored. It's something soothing and familiar about it. I like it.
Took that first thing. Sounds like a high school swim meet.
Hold on. Yes, Jimmy?
The absolute ridiculousness of those crazy, nutty horns.
I'm going to pipe in some vuvuzelas. Murray, or Maz, why do you like it?
Because it's just more natural to me of what we're used to. And so, again, ultimately, it's not affecting the game any. It's just purely for the viewing experience. It just gives you some background noise that is something a little more familiar.
Email ABC Sports.
I'm with you.
And tell them you're going to watch the game.
Yep, nope.
But you're not going to listen to the audio until the horn stops.
No way. No way. I'm with Sarandis on this. F this. Nonfiction. Tell me what's really going on. Tell me what's really going on. I don't care if it sounds better. You know, if it's not what's really happening, I'm not interested. Not interested.
But it's ridiculous.
Thank you.
It's
agreed.
Dumb.
Good
it's
job.
Stupid. It's crazy.
Here, this Leipzig game. They blew out Mainz. Jimmy, the goal that made it 4-0. I think they piped in like a Civ chant here. I think they got the fake crowd to start mocking the goalie or something. The 4-0 goal.
Twisting and turning away from St. Just Campbell into the area. It's still Kevin Campbell, but it's Timo Werner, and it's just too easy for Leipzig. Timo Werner with his second of the afternoon afforded too much time and space in the area, but Campbell's run, key to setting up the goal. But Stefan Freund, how was he allowed to run all the way through on his own?
Yeah, because St. Just is the second winner all the time. He stops too early, 1-2 with Kunku. And then Campbell is behind Mainz back four now. And then it's an easy tap-in for Werner. But fantastic work from Campbell before. But
Timo Werner was Mainz's bête noire in the reverse fixture. Three goals and three assists for him as Leipzig cruised to an 8-0 victory back then.
Actually, sounds like
Gary,
Right. Email ABC Sports and tell them you're going to watch the game, but you're not going to listen to the audio until the horn stops.
It sounded fine. It sounded good.
Yeah, the audio engineer that they have for it was did a hell of a job.
Murray, it didn't really happen. It was fake.
I want to be lied to.
It was fake.
It makes the World Cup seem like it's being played on another planet.
I can't stand it. And again, I'm telling you, they nailed it. They got the sound right to the point where there was confusion whether they were piping the sound into the stadium and it was just being picked up by the TV or it was just put on TV. And Alexi Lalas came out and said, no, this is just a TV sound effect. They can't hear it in the stadium. But they made it sound so real that I had a hard time figuring out whether it was being piped into the stadium or just piped into the broadcast. So, like, they got the sound right. They got the volume right. And maybe they'll be able to do the same thing in football. But I want to hear what's actually going on. I don't want to hear this is not what I'm in it for. Nonfiction.
Okay, but Mike would like to wrap it around the necks of every person that is blowing those horns. I mean, that's what I would like to do.
The vuvuzelas? But look, it depends on what that audio is of what's going on. If you're telling me that people are mic'd up and I can actually hear some yelling or hear some things, fine. If they're not going to give me any of that, then I'll take the fake crowd noise.
Oh, you fakers. You superficial little children. Come on. This is what this is a Geisterspiel, ghost game. Last week, without the fake crowd noise, this is what a goal sounded like. Give me the first goal from that game last week, Jimmy.
Well, they knew that they would have to defend today with that very potent front line that Dortmund have got. Can they keep it up for the full 90, though? Hazard's ball! Erling Haaland's 1-0! Classic piece of Dortmund attacking, breaks the deadlock. It can be so simple.
It was like six people clapping.
Ugh, it's so hollow. I can't stand it.
Which doesn't sound good, but you know what? There were only six people clapping, so that's why it sounds that way. That's what I want.
The single most ridiculous thing I've ever seen occur in the history of sports.
I want the full production. I want to be lied to. I want the din of the crowd noise. That's what we got during those matches. Fox is starting to do this with the Bundesliga, and I like it.
So again, that was the first goal in the Geisterspiel last week. No fake crowd noise. Here, give me the Leipzig 1-0 goal, Jimmy. This is what it sounds like with the fake crowd noise in there.
Zabitza. Miscontrolled and gave Aaron the chance. But Leimer has found Timo Werner in the middle, and Timo Werner has ended his drought. Mainz take the lead just 10 minutes into the game. And that early goal is exactly what Julian Nagelsmann wanted. They were planning on being patient. And now they caught Mainz cold.
So it drowns out the six guys clapping.
But that's a goal. That sounded like a goal.
It drowns out the six Germans clapping from the sidelines.
I like the second thing better.
Oh, feh. Of course it sounds better, but it's not what really happened. That doesn't bother you?
Nope, not at all. Not in the least. I'm there for the, you know, I want it to feel like what it normally feels like. And that sounds and feels like how it should normally feel.
And you want that. So in these NHL Stanley Cup hockey playoff games, you want them piping in fake noise.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, feh.
If it sounds like that, sure. If it's something really phony and fake, no, but that'll take.
Okay, the soccer community really liked it, which surprised me. We'll pick up the story with your calls, I promise, after Murray's update here on a re-entry Monday, which is presented by East Boston Savings Bank.
As?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. That's right. East Boston Savings Bank. Maybe you're looking to finance a home mortgage or commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit EBSB.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray.
Ivory Coast, CIV. That makes a lot of sense. CIV, Ivory Coast. That's the abbreviation.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Stop it.
That is the thing, without having fans in the stadium, the home advantage becomes less of an advantage all round. Okay, you may be familiar with the stadium a little more than away from home. Oh, taken down nicely. What an opening. Well, he's gone into the side netting with that.
You hear the crowd there? Sounded good. Sounded good. Sounded like a real soccer match. It wasn't. It wasn't real. That was fake noise. That doesn't bother you? And not that you care about the Bundesliga. I mean, you're using this as a jumping off point for what Fox is going to do when the NFL returns. And what these other then networks are going to do when the NBA and NHL return in baseball. They're going to pump in fake crowd noise. And it's going to be a fiction. It's going to be like a sitcom. You know, laugh track.
Ich liebe es. I love it.
Yeah, but you say it like it's affecting the game on the field.
I just don't like it.
You feel insulted that they're trying to do this kind of
thing. I just don't like it. Do you like it or not like it? This is Felger and Maz. This is what we do. We show up and we say, do we like it? Do we not like it?
I like it.
I like it.
I don't like it. It's not going to prevent me from watching the thing, as has been proven, and we'll get back to it with the match and the Fakakta golf thing on Sunday. I am so horned up for sports. I am so horny and desperate and hard up for sports. I will watch anything if they put, you know, if Sarandis brings back the Vuvuzelas, I'll watch the thing. So, like, it's not a matter of if I'm going to watch it or not. Of course I'm going to watch it. I'm watching the Bundesliga, for crying out loud.
The absolute ridiculousness of those crazy, nutty horns.
I just don't like the fakery. I don't like it. I like my sports to be nonfiction. Then we show up and we dramatize everything. We are based on a true story. Okay.
Email ABC Sports and tell them you're going to watch the game, but you're not going to listen to the audio until the horn stops.
I'm with you, Ted. I'm with you. You know, the games are real. We dramatize it. Okay. And that's what I want. I don't want the games faked. I don't want the games to be based on a true story. No, the games are the true story, and then we dink around with it afterwards. That's what we do. That's what I don't want being done on the broadcast. And well, anyway, Billy in Rhode Island, your thoughts on this?
How you doing? Give those guys some maple. Here's the story. I think we should sound out Maz. Take his microphone on and just listen to you and Jimmy. Here's the thing. Who the hell wants to watch a game that's fake? I think it does have an effect on the game.
Agreed.
I think, in my mind, it's almost like you're watching a phony game.
Hold on, Billy.
What do you mean, how? Because it's not real. That's how. The game's real, but the piping in stuff ain't real. It takes away from the game.
Billy, you recognize that the players can't.
Both ears. That's the problem.
Okay, so
you got to be miserable, like you, Mike, and the old timer whose clips we keep playing, whose name I forget.
So
kids don't need music behind their poems. That's what you guys need.
Okay, but I'm gonna let you go because the back and forth just doesn't work. It just doesn't work on a good day. Never mind the delays and the different locations. We just don't engage the callers. I'll pretend you're still here, and I would ask you, Billy, how old are you? Because my father mentioned this to me. Maz, maybe you could ask Ezio about this as well, because Rocky gave me this one when I started talking about this and going off about this. He said, well, you understand that in my day, we'd listen to baseball games that were completely created in the studio. That correct. A lot of time, the Milwaukee Braves wouldn't send their guys on the road. They would just have two guys back in the studio, literally, Murray, doing the old, you know,
knocking two blocks of wood together.
They're like Foley artists, I think is what they call them. Yeah.
Go ahead, Murray. I have a metal cat. It's like,
on. It's a deep drive to left center field. It's way back, and it's gone.
Yes. So
the crowd goes wild. Wow, they're really getting up for George Bervin Roof.
Rocky said the road games were totally made up in the studio.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean,
that doesn't go that far back. I can tell you right now, when I first got into radio, I worked at a place that they used to broadcast the Spanish version of the Red Sox games, and it was all fake crowd noise. They, like, pumped it all in. They did it from a hut.
Okay, but
they called it from a ticker. They totally did.
I mean, they'd get like, you know, a wire ticker that would tell them when anything happened. There's a famous story about a guy whose ticker went out on, like, you know, the final at bat of the game, and he made up this 15 pitch at bat, and the thing started working, and they found out the guy popped up on the first pitch. And that was, you know, and that was it.
So again, for the old timers, Billy in Rhode Island, if you would shut your pie hole for a second, I might have asked you this, but for the old timers, they're used to it. And the only thing I had, this is like Little League World Series.
Oh, those aluminum bats are really rocking today.
So the old timers must be really used to it. I have no use for it, but the soccer people liked it. USA Today, German Bundesliga broadcast uses fake crowd noise, and it's actually great. That was the headline.
I agree.
Yeah. It's actually great. It's a practice that's been discussed as a possibility for teams playing in empty stadiums, but has so far been avoided due to concerns that the pumped-in noise would feel artificial and silly. But after having watched most of the first half, in which Leipzig is just trouncing Mainz, I have to say, says the author, it's much better. Yes, it can feel a bit uncanny to hear crowd noise and then look up and see empty seats. But soccer is a game that relies on atmosphere as much as anything. Your eyes are on the field for the most part, so you don't notice the disparity much. With the chance, it feels like a soccer game. The author says, I'll admit I thought this wasn't going to work, and I'll admit that I was totally wrong. It does work. It makes the game feel more special and real. So not just the author, here's like soccer people. Alexi Lalas is endorsing the thing, for crying out loud, and for some reason now I can't call up the story, but Lalas was supporting it. Like, longtime soccer writers were supporting the thing. Like,
by and large, from the people I saw tweeting about it too, people were into it.
They were into it.
So look, Mike, if you tell me that it doesn't work the same way in other sports, I'll allow for that. I want to see it first. But in soccer, there is, you know, there's a lot of downtime potentially, and, you know, just a lot of dead air in there. And so I don't mind it as a background noise. I think it was pretty good. The way Billy from Rhode Island was talking, I half wonder whether he thought the sound was being pumped into the stadium.
Lala says for the first time in the U.S., we're hearing the enhanced audio broadcast, which features added manufactured crowd noise. I love it, says Lawless. It's not about fooling anyone. It's simply about enhancing the TV viewing experience.
Yeah.
There's a comfort and familiarity in the soundtrack. Still think the art/skill involved in inserting crowd noise in a game will improve with more games? Oh, it's not a question mark. He thinks it'll actually improve. It'll get better. He says other leagues and sports are taking note. So, I mean, I thought they did a good job with it. I think they did their job. It wasn't too loud. They did a good job with it.
See, I'm glad to hear you say that.
But that's not my point. Like, I don't care that they did a good job with it. I don't want nonfiction. Nonfiction.
Don't mess with my sports.
What's actually happening? No, I just want presented what's actually happening. If I wanted fiction, I'd watch a sitcom. Or I'd watch a drama.
How much better would this have been, Mike, if it played out during the match like this and Tom Brady picks up his putt? Oh, and he ripped his pants. You know, I have like the horn there.
Funny you mention that, Murray, because I think we had an example this weekend that showed us exactly why we don't need fake crowd noise. We'll get to that right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. Felger has 95 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, go in!
Oh, my goodness!
You made it!
Wow!
Take a second out. Wow.
Hey.
Check.
Hey, man.
Check.
I got that's
check.
Awesome.
Shut your mouth. Check. Take a little of that medicine. Get your butt out of here.
Hey.
Wow.
That's what I needed.
Hey. Back in the hole.
Hey, way to get $100,000 for Brooks Koepka.
What a
thanks,
tasty
baby.
Morphine.
Brooks, take
wow.
Brooks, how about that?
Did that make fake crowd noise?
No, it's golf, and you got guys yucking it up and that are fully mic'd up in all the participants. You don't have guys that are fully mic'd up in the Bundesliga or any of these other leagues. So they're not going to sign off on that, especially in the NBA. You need the fake crowd noise.
You don't. What I'm telling you is the action carries the moment. Whether you have crowd noise or not, that's what's important. And if the action doesn't, if it's not interesting on the field and they pipe in crowd noise, that's going to make it more interesting. It's all about what happens on the field. It's reality. That's what matters. What's actually happening, what's actually transpiring. That's Brady holing out from 110 yards on the eighth hole from the match on Sunday, which, again, we'll get back to, and we all liked. We all liked it. Most people liked it. It set a ratings record, and, again, we can discuss whether that's just because of the apocalypse or not, but I think most people that watched it thought it was a compelling event. I know I did.
Yeah, but again, you're missing some of the reality of it. One is that we are horny for sports, for crying out loud. I mean, it's reached a point where, I'm so horny for sports, I get excited by Brady splitting his pants, for crying out loud. His ripped in the back, mine ripped in the front. That's how horny I was for sports. So to me, that was a big factor in the whole thing. And the other thing is, just because you have some crowd noise pumped in, it's not altering anything that's happened out there. You know, to me, it's just about engaging the senses a little bit and giving you something that's familiar.
Everyone's so hyper and no attention span. We all need to be bombarded with our senses at all time. Every sense has to be bombarded at all times.
Yep.
Not bombarded. But Mike, again, then why even Sued. Have these guys? Why have the guys mic'd up yesterday?
I don't need them. I don't need them mic'd up. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I wouldn't need it.
Oh, that would have been so extra boring if it's just silence.
I don't need silence either. So maybe there's a happy medium there with that, with the match on Sunday. And it gave us something that, I mean, look, I think the fake crowd noise in all these sports is a fait accompli. The Bundesliga's doing it. They dip their toe in the water. It worked. You know, most people liked it. So it's coming for all of them. The NFL is categorically going to do it. Like, that's a done deal, as Joe Buck said. You know the NBA and NHL are going to follow suit. And so, I know this is happening. But to me, I don't know, can you do more of what the match did with not just miking the players, which is obvious and I still don't think it's going to work because they're still going to edit it too heavily and you're not going to get the full flavor of what's really going on there. But the multiple voices, like the call-ins and the different guys on the phone or, I don't know, good, smart broadcasters who don't step over each other and, can you dress it up like that? Because the Brady thing, as you just heard, the ball goes in from 110 yards, and you didn't need a crowd there to feel the excitement and to feel the moment. It was just enough having the four or five people on the air or on the phone or whatever it happened to be, and that's all you needed. And so is there a way to be smart about the broadcast and to give me more voices where it's not overdone and that? You know, that I'll take. That's fine. I just don't need the canned laughter, the canned applause, the canned booing, even though they did a good job with it. I'm not into it. Meanwhile, we have breaking news on the NHL.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman has announced that the NHL will abandon the rest of the regular season. They'll go straight into the playoffs with 24 teams instead of 16 if they are able to resume play. They're currently looking at two host cities, but 10 cities are in play. According to Joe Haggerty of NBC Sports Boston, he's hearing that Vegas and Columbus, Ohio are the front runners to be those host cities.
Okay, so that's just sort of formalizing what we had heard starting on Friday. But I think it's significant in that it is the first pro sports league here in America. Other than the NFL, which is just plowing ahead as if, you know, there could be an asteroid headed for the Earth ready for impending doom, and the NFL would say, well, no, we're kicking off Sunday at 1. The asteroid can go F itself. But aside from the NFL, it's one of these first leagues that was up in the air to come back and formally say via its commissioner, we're back. And so that's a significant thing, even though I think we all saw it coming and knew it was coming. The NHL's first. The NHL is first. And I felt it might be. You know, I felt like their proposals were further on down the line than these other leagues. And I think, I don't know, maybe it has something to do with their Players Association as well, that they're the least combative Players Association. And I think you heard that from a guy like Chris Letang, who the players voted on this thing last Friday. The vote was 29-2. Only two teams voted against it, Carolina and Tampa. But all the teams, most of the teams that were going to get quote-unquote screwed by this, and Pittsburgh's definitely the one, they voted for it. Pittsburgh voted for it, even though they're going to have to play an extra playoff round than they normally would have, even though their first-round opponent is going to be a team, Montreal, that finished, was it 15 points or 10 points lower than them in the standings? Either way.
15. Montreal's 15 behind Pittsburgh, 71-86.
So Pittsburgh was firmly in the playoffs. Montreal was way out of it. Montreal had no chance of making the postseason. Pittsburgh was just a matter of where they were going to be seated. Pittsburgh's going to have to come back and immediately play a five-game elimination series against Montreal to go on to the traditional first round. Pittsburgh has every reason in the world to vote against it, to be pissed, to think they're getting screwed. Instead, the players voted for it, and their player rep said, Chris Letang, quote, at the end of the day, nobody gets what they want, but we all want what's best for hockey. Quote, unquote. How's that? Compare that to the MLBPA. Compare that to Blake Snell and the MLBPA and why the NHL today is announcing their first, you know, tertiary plans to come back. What's the MLBPA saying, Murray?
Well, here's the latest. Their digital meeting.
Good.
Their digital meeting between the owners and the Players Association ended just a short time ago. Reading from Evan Drellick of The Athletic. The MLBPA is very disappointed with Major League Baseball's economic proposal today, calling additional cuts proposed, quote, massive. The league offered to share more playoff revenue, but on balance, those dollars are small compared to what players give up, according to the Players Association. So the MLB and MLBPA still stuck being complete morons and irreparably damaging their sport.
Meanwhile,
well, and I'll tell you just quickly what the latest proposal from MLB to the union basically called for the higher paid players in baseball to take bigger cuts than the lower paid players, which you would say, well, that's fair. Mike Trout gives up a little more money because he's got a little more to give up. And the guys who are making minimum salaries get to preserve the large majority of their money because they needed more. That makes sense, right? I mean, we would all look at that and say that makes sense. See, one of the great myths about the baseball union is that they serve the greater good. They don't. They're always interested in just the star player making the most money. That's what they've always been interested in. So you would think that they would go for something like this, but they won't.
I'll tell you, no, but how sort of shrewd by the Major League Baseball owners to put that on them.
Correct.
Right? To say, like, it exposes...
That's why they did it.
It exposes the union as just trying to protect their highest earners.
Exactly why they did it.
They put it right to you. They said, most of your rank and file won't be affected. It'll just be the guys at the very top. And the players' union still said, no way. And that just sort of exposes them as just being concerned about those high guys.
Always. And this is the way the baseball unions always work. They just want the highest paid players to be able to go out there and get the money so that they can say the average salary escalates on an annual basis, even though it's plateaued a little bit, because those are the ones that drive up the average salary, even though, again, the lower paid guys are really the ones who suffer. So, you know, this whole idea that the union serves the greater good in baseball, it doesn't. Mike, this is exactly why the owners did it that way, because they're trying to drive a wedge between the stars in the union and the lower paid guys, because they want to say, see, the union doesn't really care about you, and they want to break that union.
Meanwhile, hockey and basketball have already agreed to come back. They've come back. They've agreed to come back to, you know, some form of a quarantine city or not, which the MLBPA, the Major League Baseball players denied, which is why they're all having to go to different stadiums. The NHL has agreed to hub cities. It's just a question of which one. And I don't, by the way, mind them keeping that open-ended, Murray, by the way. I don't mind. Choose between one of 10, you know, in 6 weeks, the world could look totally different and one place looks better than the other. So I don't mind that.
Yeah.
Keep that option open. But the NHL players are saying we all want what's best for hockey, and they're the first to announce coming back. Meanwhile, the MLBPA and the owners can't even agree to what was written in a contract 2 months ago. So that sort of sums that up. Here comes Murray's update, 90 seconds, more details on the return of the NHL. That is now official. You'll hear that in the update. There are no commercials. And we'll get right to your phones here on a Reentry Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.